Friggin' what up, dude? Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. Gonna be called History Is Dying.
History is dying with Strider Wilson. Darkness from the past.
Friggin' what up, dude? Fired up to be in the studio right now, dude. Got Aaron on the sticks. What up, Aaron?
What up?
Just chilling, dude. Dude, feeling creative right now, dude. I'm feeling artistic right now, dude. Friggin' spent the night with my GF, dude. And I know what's going through your mind right now. Enjoying each other in the act of physical love. You are close. We weren't doing that. We weren't, you know, getting down, like the kids say. Instead, we were hanging stuff up. Sconces, bro. Hanged up some sconces. I said, when we moved into our new apartment, these walls were screaming for sconces. And dude, good on my GF, dude. She took a swing and a miss on the first ones that we picked out. They just dominated the space. They were really just dominating the space in a way that was just honestly offensive. I was offended by the furniture, to be quite honest with you. But then she found these dank ones. They're a little more linear, dude. Classic shades, dude. You know, modern, but with a hint of vintage. And I'm telling you, dude, they really, really make the, you know, no pun intended, but they really brighten up the space, dude. Quite literally, but also quite freaking dankly when I look at it and in my heart. So it was a fun project to do together. They look freaking absolutely legit. And for any dudes out there listening who don't have a GF and might not know exactly what sconces are, because I had no idea when I, you know, before I started dating my dank GF. And basically, it's a lava lamp that goes on your wall. So imagine your lava lamp, which you have, because, you know, what else do you like to stare at when you're freaking absolutely shacked to your dome with your boys? Unless you have a kaleidoscope that you're going to pass around, puff, puff, pass, you know, puff, puff, pass joint, pass kaleidoscope. As soon as I take that hit, exhale. I'm talking like this, like I blaze a lot. I got too much anxiety. I do not blaze much. But when I have, there's always been a kaleidoscope and a lava lamp involved. And a lot of times, you know, just a closet, you know, where like there's those, you know, stickers of the galaxy that I can just lean back on and look at and just be tight. Yeah, dude. So that's freaking sick. So basically imagine putting your lava lamp on your wall, dude, and then, you know, try not to get stoked on that. So that's basically how stoked I'm feeling right now and feeling creative because we measured it out. It was fun, you know, dude. I mean, guess what? We're not beholden to a standing lamp like so many of us think we are. There are other options, dude. You know, you could do something hanging, chandelier style, dude. There's all sorts of fun lighting fixtures, dude. You know, have a little bit of fun with it, dude. Thinking next step's going to be hanging up a succulent, dude. Fired up on doing that. Can't wait to get a little cactus floating, dude. My bathroom, you know, basically my drill factory. And speaking of drill factory, dude, kind of leads me directly into our historical share today. Going to be talking about fantasy art, dude. Fired up on it, and in particular, the stylings and dankness of Boris Vallejo. Maybe you heard of him. Aaron, have you heard of Boris Vallejo?
I have not, no.
He's a beast. Dude's a beast, dude. Dude can draw. Dude does some great oil freaking drawings, dude. All right, I'm going to get into exactly what he's using, but dude, it has a nice shimmer to it. They're so bomb, dude. And I discovered this artist, Boris Vallejo, when I used to be in a sketch group called The Dabs Den, dude. Speaking of token fat bulls and staring at lava lamps, where we'd go on Saturdays, we'd shoot some comedy sketches and we were just chilling. And one of my boys, Reggie, he picked up a coffee table book and it was at a garage sale and it was Boris Vallejo art. And I couldn't help but start browsing through it. And you would know if you're familiar exactly why I picked it up. I mean, this art features jacked goblins, dude. Absolutely shredded goblins that must be doing CrossFit in Mordor. You know, like, there's definitely a CrossFit box, that's what they call those gyms, in Mordor as far as I'm concerned, because they are absolutely shredded goblins who are on a strict protein paleo diet. There's Amazonian women who are strong, independent women who, you know, they'll accept the love of a strong man who is jacked. Dude, there's sick space landscapes, dude. I like to call them spacescapes. So much fun use of technology. I mean, it truly is fantasy, dude. And honestly, It's something that you could just stare at and get stoked on in new ways every single time, which I think, you know, it doesn't have to be the purpose of a painting or a drawing or a piece of artwork. Sometimes you like to revisit a work because you want to revisit that emotion or that feeling, you know, some like kind of listening to a song or something, you know, it reminds you of, you know, time, you know, a summer, you know, it reminds me of, oh man, I went through that breakup, but you know what? I learned a lot from it. So I'm still going to put on, you know, The National, you know, or whoever you were listening to during that breakup. Who are you listening to? The Cure, Aaron? I mean, what's the best breakup song you think?
For sure.
Band?
For sure it's The Cure.
Yeah. Jack's Mannequin? I mean, it's got to be The Cure Annual. I mean, just because we're talking, you know, Wedding Planner, dude. That's how I learned about it, dude, and it's their fire, you know? Pictures of You? Kidding Me, Bro?
Yep. That's the jam.
Yeah, dude. The freaking bomb. So, dude, I mean, so I know this is a freaking auditory medium, but I'm going to sort of take you on a little bit of an audio tour, which I would like, you typically say that only schmoles buy when they're at a museum. It's like, oh, dude, you're going to be with a group of people you don't know on an audio tour right now? Nah, dude. Like, I'm just going to cruise around by myself with my iPod on, listening to freaking probably Firehouse beats, you know, maybe some Pronail, some dubstep in a museum. That's the thing, dude. Here's a great mashup that people don't think about. Speaking of mashups and dubsteps and house, put on some techno and go to MoMA. Okay, dude, that should be an installation in and of itself, dude. That's some, I don't know about Banksy, dude, but that's Danksy right there, dude. It's an experience of art, dude, experiencing the art in a new way. See where the techno takes you, you know? Probably to a dance tent. So yeah, dude, I'm a sort of, for the listeners, this is on YouTube. So if you want to look at some of the artwork, go ahead and hop over to the YouTube. Or if you are in your commute right now driving, you know, don't pull up your phone or look at anything now, but, you know, familiarize yourself with like just one Boris Vallejo work. And for me, I would start with The High Couch of Solastra, which is a very, very dank piece. And I'll sort of describe what I'm looking at here now. And, Aaron, are you ready on? Yeah, there we go. Aaron's the man. He's got it up here right now. So what I'm looking at here is, basically, and I'll paint you sort of a word picture here. I'm looking at an absolutely fucking shredded lion or a tigress of some sort. I like to imagine it's female with wings. So it's like somewhat like a griffin. You could call that a griffin, I believe, in mythological terms here. And an absolutely shredded female warrior here who does look like my GF because she's wearing, you know, stylish winter boots here. My GF has dank winter boots. She's wearing sort of a, I would say, a Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia sort of bikini here. And I mean, there's no question upon first glance, your mind, you know, of course, it's very difficult for me not to think through the male gaze, but immediately I'm thinking to myself, I'd like to take this into the drill factory and absolutely have at myself. But then I figured to myself, you know what? Let me appreciate this on a higher level. Let me get past my guts and my loins, which is what so many of us think about. And then I imagine, dude, look at these mountains. If I'm not going to sort of where the eye is drawn to this absolutely shredded tiger who with wings, with bat wings. So I would like to imagine that that thing can you probably use some sort of echolocation to talk to its pride, which that gets me fired up that it has a pride and that's dank, but also is loyal to his dank princess here. I'm going to go ahead and say, I see her wearing a tiara and I would go ahead and say she is some sort of princess of this desert moon world that she's on. It could very well be Earth, but I would imagine not. And then I look at the mountains in the background and I got to think there's, because I've gone through sort of the the portfolio of Boris Vallejo. And I know he's made jacked goblins and I like to sort of combine them on my own and imagine that those goblins are sort of maybe constructing some sort of, you know, I don't know, dude, catapults or something dank, some sort of, you know, medieval style technology that I don't know about. And then I like to insert myself into that scenario, you know, and that's very dank for me to do. I like to imagine, you know, I'm not jacked or shredded, but I do lift 35s. And it's like, well, maybe I'm the dude who picks up lunch, you know, maybe I'm some sort of assistant for all of these jacked goblins. And, you know, I'm their boy and they're like, yo, Strider, what up? You're a human, dude. Usually we will eat humans. But in your case, dude, we're thinking of eating Chipotle for lunch today. You cool taking the burrito orders? Can you nail that? And I'm like, hell yeah, I can, bro. I can pick up a burrito without taking a bite out of it, bro. You guys want drinks too? You guys want to get wild on me and make me carry drinks? Because I'll do it, dude, because you're my fucking boys. And we got to make these catapults. So that just gets me fired up thinking about that High Couch of Solastra. And then you have to think to yourself, looking at this work of art here that immediately, you know, you would want to step into the drill factory. There's no question about that. Where can I put this? And when I was hanging up the sconces, I was asking my GF, I go, we've got a picture of the Grand Canyon. And I go, I'm loving these sconces. This room's balanced. I want to have a little fun in my desk area. What do you think about a Boris Vallejo work? I think it's a power move. I think if you have an office, if you're commuting to your work and your work has an office, I don't care if you have a cubicle, put a Boris Vallejo work up. Okay, dude, put it up. People are going to look at it. They're going to go, this guy has an imagination. Okay. They're going to say, yes, this guy likes to enjoy himself. And they're going to ask him, is he right or left? But they're going to go, he's an imaginative guy. He likes to have fun. He's looking at this very well-drawn thing. It's a Boris Vallejo. It's art, bro. You know, if someone can't, dude, honestly, dude, if somebody can't and is offended by your art, they're a schmoll, dude. Tell them that they need to loosen up their khakis, dude. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Sorry to knock on dude to wear khakis. I mean, I wear them all the time, but you know, khaki shorts, bro. I sag. So they're dank, dude, you know? And here's the even dankest part. So let's get in a little bit of history here, you know, and then we'll go through a few more works. The history of, you know, Boris Vallejo a little bit. And here's what fires me up perhaps the most. Boris Vallejo is married to Julie Bell. Julie Bell, before her and Boris Vallejo met, was already doing fantasy work in the similar vein of Boris Vallejo. Very dank, dude. They're doing dank fantasy drawings. They meet each other. They're two artists in love. Try to tell me that's not the dream, okay? The only thing missing from that equation is like, how do they not live in Los Feliz, Los Angeles? How do they not live in Brooklyn? How do they not live in, you know, the hip town of whatever city you're living in? You know, how do they not have chickens instead of dogs as pets? Or one of those tiny pigs? You know, and they might very well might. You know, I didn't get too personal with my research. I didn't make any phone calls. But let's get into it a little bit. So, freaking Boris Vallejo was born in Lima, Peru in 1941, dude. Born during the WW Deuce years, dude. So already fired up. His mastery of, like I said, it's oil painting, is immediately and abundantly clear to anyone who looks at his work, dude. And his classic sense is as much an homage to the old masters as it is to anyone contemporaneously working in the fantasy genre, dude. So the dude's, in short, a beast. You know, for sheer dauntless bravura, few have ever pushed the limits, as does Boris with his beautiful maidens and fearsome monsters. Yeah, dude. When I'm decorating my apartment, and I'm not saying all art is going to be, because, you know, technically with art, you don't want to diminish it to just decor. The art should stand as it's on its own. And I think no question it does with these dank oil paintings, as they were, I was saying, drawings and stuff. He does have sketch drawings as well. But the High Count of Salasha, which we just went over for, is an oil painting. So then we have Julie Bell, his wife, dude. And the works that I've gotten for the YouTube and everything, it's all from their website, dude. Cruise there, dude. Freaking a husband and wife couple that has a website, dude, that's not on Pinterest, dude. Fire, okay? So Julie Bell is born in 1958 in Beaumont, Texas, dude. Julie is known herself through the identity of an artist for as long as she can remember art, dude. Comes as naturally to her as does breathing, dude. Fired up, dude. I wish we could all have that. That's called a gift right there, dude. Her early life, dude, she moved and lived in 12 different locations, dude, cruising around, dude. I mean, in order for one to write, share, express themselves, you know, get some life experience first. I mean, you know, how does one write if one has not lived? How does one create if one has not lived first, you know? I'm not saying that's always the case, but typically. Dude, she attended six different colleges, bro, always pursuing art, her passion, dude. And she loves the human figure and life drawing, dude. Her love of the human body, dude, she took up weight training and became nationally ranked competitive bodybuilder. Okay, dude, you go back and look at High Couch of Salastra at this jacked Amazonian princess. Yeah, dude, no wonder Boris Vallejo is fired up meeting his freaking GF, Julie Bell, and then who now is just his straight up W, dude, his wife, dude. And that's a W for him, dude, because basically he marries an Amazonian woman who's an artist. I like to imagine, every time I'm drilling myself, I like to imagine that's an artist. And it's true, you know? So she no longer competes, but maintains her muscle through continued weight training as well as Ashtanga yoga. Don't quite know what the distinction of Ashtanga yoga is, but it sounds freaking dank and challenging, dude. It sounds like it's probably strength building while getting flexibility down, you know? So that's dang, dude. They're married in 94. They collaborate, bro. Sometimes, you know, there's couples that, you know, they have creative differences and they keep the marriage and the creativity separate. I love that they collaborate, dude. That's fire. It's not the right recipe for everyone, but it just gets me so stoked. It's just so dank that they're able to do that and create some dank stuff, dude. And maybe they can give each other notes on work, constructive always. You know, here's something that is going to be a big tip for anyone. Anytime you're being creative, and I think this works and this helps me in, you know, comedy and when writing and everything, but when you have a note for someone, lead with what if, not you should, you know? And I'm sure that Boris and Julie are leading with what if phrases like, what if, you know, by creating a little bit of Charles Carroll lighting there, you made that fucking jacked goblin look a little more fearsome, but it also made the striation on his delts stand out a little bit more. What do you think about that? Then Boris tried it and he's like, Julie, that's such a fire call. Where'd you learn that? She's like, oh, my freaking gym today, dude. It's got fire lighting. Always makes my adults stand out. Life experience affecting the artwork and affecting me because it's so dank, it gets me stoked. I think I would, so honestly, dude, it's just sick, dude, to interpret, you know, and it's fun to interpret and imagine. And honestly, going back to being in a museum, like, I wish that I could go to an installation and see some of these fantasy drawings in, like, you know, straight up established museum. I don't think there's enough of it, you know, and I think it should be in there. And if I ever am in a museum, I'll tell you this much right now. I like to interpret work out loud. Okay? I don't care, dude. Just say what it means to you, dude, and it can't be denied. You know, it's just truth, dude. You know what I mean? Like, let everyone know within standing distance, just go, dude, oh, this must be the artist's intent. Good call. They might not know what's going on in your head, but I like to just look at a painting sometimes. Like if I'm looking at, you know, Luncheon on the Grass or, you know, some Picasso, I'll just look at it, dude. You know, freaking Les Mademoiselles d'Avignon or whatever, dude, or Guernica or whatever. I'll look at it and I'll go, dude, good call. For sure. And then I'll keep cruising. Enough of this quiet stuff, dude. I want there to be more party atmosphere to everything. Okay. And maybe, you know what, now other people do like to observe in peace and quiet. Maybe those are the early hours, you know, let's get a little museum after hours thing going on. Serve some impas, cruise around. I want to cut it up and flesh it out and see what some other bro's thinking about. I want to wear a tank top in the museum. Okay. I'm sorry. I want to flop around in my sandals a little bit in there. And, you know, I want to freaking lather up some sunscreen if I have to. And honestly, yeah, open up the windows, dude, get a freaking cool breeze going in through here and, you know, get some dank lighting on these pieces. I know you need to protect some art from the sun. Don't let it hit it directly, but be nice if it could hit my freaking lats while I'm enjoying. Just saying that, dude. Pose questions when you're up there, dude. You know? Out loud. Get an earshot of a guided tour, dude. Maybe they'll learn something. Be like, dude, I wonder how horny Picasso was when he made this painting, Les Mademoiselles d'Avignon. Say that out loud to yourself. Because it's a given that it was horny. You gotta go, how? Scale from 1 to 10. Then just look over, force eye contact with someone on that tour. Maybe they'll answer you. Maybe, you know, the docent or whatever, the tour guy will be like, yo, you're disturbing other customers. And you gotta be like, all right, dude, my bad. I'm just stoked, dude, and keep cruising. You know what I mean? Look at a piece and be like, dude, look at this thing, dude. It's ready made, it's on the wall. Square shape, it's got a number on there. Interesting. You typically don't find numbers or symbol. There is symbolism in art, but this is sort of, you know, on the nose symbolism, but maybe it's ironic that the artist is doing that. You say all of this out loud. Everything I'm saying out loud, you're thinking out loud. It's sick. It blends into the wall. You almost wouldn't even know it's a piece of artwork right here. It says even below it, do not touch. And then, you know, the security guard's got to come up to you and be like, yo, that's an AC unit, dog. And then you're like, oh, that's my bad, dude. I get it for sure. Yeah, it's 72 in here. It's comfortable. You guys don't even need to open the windows. All right, dude, well, let's keep cruising on some Boris here. Just a tangent on museum etiquette there. We're looking at right now at the Priestess of the Sun. Now, right here, this is a risque piece. What I'm looking at, the breast is exposed of this high priestess who looks like she's in some sort of mountains of Peru. There is a terraced farmland in the background. She is enjoying the sun and I think even probably DJing herself here. So honestly, she's stepping into her own for a male, for me, it's a drill factory because I'm absolutely drilling myself. She looks like she is within her DJ factory right here. enjoying the sun, having a moment to herself. She's working hard. She's thanking the gods for the gift of this, the body and the spirit really becoming one. And she has an absolutely shredded tricep, okay? And jacked calves. I mean, dude, there's no question, tennis scholarship guaranteed here. So I'm fired up on that. It's truly a beautiful piece of work here, thanking the high spirits of whatever. And I mentioned this looks like a landscape similar to the mountains of Peru, some, you know, an Inca style landscape here reminds me of Machu Picchu, but this very well could be a different, you know, world and planet that we're on here, you know, and it looks sort of ancient. There's a rock sculptured structure in the foreground. Perhaps she worked on that. And this is the way in which she's appreciating the artwork itself. We don't limit ourselves to just painting. I wish that there was a museum where you could DJ yourself in front of an artwork, maybe in after hours. You'd have to pay, you know, good money to go do that because sometimes that's what it evokes. And so what I'm enjoying here is the freedom of expression, not only by the artist, but the subject within the art, therefore informing the person looking at the piece. So I think if you have a desk, if you work at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, or Avis, or any corporate company, I think you tell upper management, you say straight up to them, I'm putting this work in my office. I don't care about company policy. It's art. If you don't support it, it's on you. Yes, the breast is exposed, but nothing here is grotesque. Nothing here is negative. It's all good vibes, and it's all stoked. Honestly, if you work in an investment, and I only say a Rent-A-Car because it's like, dude, what you rent? You rent a vehicle with us, this is how safe you're going to feel. Look at the high priestess. Look how good you're going to feel. Oh, you want to get that extra insurance through us, even though you have your own car insurance? You're going to feel so safe knowing that you have that right now and added it to your package, which is technically an upsell for you. That's how good you're going to feel as a customer. You work in finance? Oh, dude, my portfolio is so diversified, dude. You know what I mean, dude? It's so dank, dude. You're going to feel so right. All you're going to have to do is sit back, relax, and straight up enjoy yourself. Like the high priestess here. And you know what, dude? The sun's gonna always be shining down on you. No one's around to judge, dude. It's just great. It's high noon. You gotta imagine that society, it's sort of a utopian dank society there. The sun is out in this work, dude. It's very bright. There's a little bit of shadow play in the background. And of course, I'm imagining there's jacked goblins. There are mountains in the background. In every mountain, a mountainscape or any mountain that I see in a Boris Vallejo work, there's, in my mind, jacked goblins back there. And it's just nothing but a you know, dankness in the sun, you know? You work in finance, you're getting 20%, dude. 20% plus some then, dude. Boom, dude. Where else are you going to get 20%? Lay it down. Dank piece of work. Aaron, how do you feel about this work? What is being evoked?
I mean, you're right. I didn't really notice the first time when you sent it to me that she is probably doing a little hand DJ.
Yeah.
But also, like, yeah, she is fucking shredded. Like,
absolutely. CrossFit. I'm surprised this isn't a Julie Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think, like, this reminds me of, like, early Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
With the dark hair, shredded, maybe just post G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
Her hair back out.
That's a great call. Yeah, exactly. It looks like G.I. Jane. Exactly right.
Yeah. But yeah, you just wouldn't think that amount of detail would be paid to someone's arm muscles.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's the attention to detail, and that fires me up, dude. There's question.
I worry about how hard she might be working herself.
Right. That's true. You know. That's true. But I think she's just naturally that shredded. You know what
it
I mean?
Could be, like, yeah.
Think about the gravity that could be taking place on this moon world, and maybe she doesn't even do a kettlebell routine, although it definitely looks like it. But there's striation in those delts. It could be a little bit of a John Carter situation where gravity in this world is so heavy that that's just how jacked people are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so dank, dude. It's so dank. So I'm honestly looking up right now. This is a collaboration piece, I believe. It's Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell. So it does make sense just seeing the striations in those muscles that it would be a collaboration piece by them. And that fires me up, dude. A husband and a wife made this together? Come on, dude. Stoke-inducing. All right, let's keep moving to the next one. This one right here is entitled Robot Slayer. I mean, if I'm looking at this in a museum, I'm just saying dank. You have an absolutely shredded dude. I mean, let's put it this way. The guy's got an Uzi in space. Okay? He has an Uzi in space. He's wearing spandex, so you know this dude can dance. His upper girdle is absolutely yoked. There's some sort of space battle taking place behind him. I see some destroyed robots. I see, you know, ships that perhaps he commanded. He might have been shot down and had to battle his way out of his own ship. Or maybe he is a native of this world and he's defending from alien intruders, standing up for what he believes in. All I'm saying, or maybe it's, yeah. So basically he's fighting evil machines on behalf of his species, and that's tight, dude. That's something that at my day job, if I hated it, if I was an assistant manager somewhere, maybe I don't have an office that I, you know, take customers in, so it wouldn't even be me worth putting this up on my wall, though I think that is dang. Maybe you just have this on your screensaver, dude, and you just act like you're doing work, but really all you're doing all day long is just staring at this dank piece, a dude holding an Uzi in space, and just enjoying it, dude. Looking back at the viewer as if to say, well, let's go, dude. You got my back, I got yours. Immediately, I'm like, dude, I'm bros with this guy. When I see it, if you don't have a squad, if you're sort of a schmoll, you know, I think you got to get this, and you immediately have a friend right here, you know? Like, if I'm a young kid, and if you're a dad, dude, and your kid, like, you know, kids want to, vicariously, dads want to be like, oh, my kid's good at sports, he's going to be the quarterback, whatever, but your kid's kind of, you know, kind of like I was growing up, you know, more indoors, kind of, you know, good introvert, maybe even has an imaginary friend, dude, and you're, you know, all the, you're having a barbecue in your neighborhood and all the kids are playing tag, but your kid's just sitting over there talking to his imaginary friend. You just go, but dude, you know who my kid's imaginary friend is? It's fucking this guy. What up? Dude's got a ponytail, dude. Imagine if this was your substitute teacher, bro. He cruises in. Are you kidding me, dude? It's like, what up, guys? It's Friday. I already ordered us a pizza, but here's your challenge. You got to do 150 push-ups, 150 sit-ups, 150 bodyweight squats, then get that pepperoni and don't skip on the ranch because you earned it. That's all I'm saying, dude. I want to get full health benefits for substitute teachers everywhere that are absolutely jacked. Because kids are disrespecting substitute teachers, dude. I want a big movement on this. I think they need to be jacked. You know what I mean? If he's like this, dude, you put this guy in a polo, dude. You kidding me, dude? He's going to be bursting out of it. What do you think, Aaron? What do you think's going on in the background of this piece? I don't see mountains, so no jacked goblins.
No. There's definitely a war going on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a castle in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know if an Uzi is your best weapon in a war with robots who seemingly have lasers.
Yep.
But I respect it. Maybe he's retro. Maybe that's his thing.
That is cool. It's cool to think that he is retro, where he's like, you guys can use your laser guns. I got my Uzi. Also, he's like, maybe there's alien technology that slows down, that, you know, disables a laser-activated weapon because it's mechanized,
mm-hmm.
where an Uzi is mechanized, but not digitally or anything like that. So yeah. He's like, look, dude, I'm going low-tech to take out some high-tech.
Yeah, it's EMP-proof.
Yep. Yeah, EMP-proof. Exactly right.
He's kind of like a late 80s aerobics instructor.
Yes,
in Miami.
Correct. Good call, dude.
Yeah, with the hairdo and the,
there's no question this dude currently could be a what are those Peloton bikes? He could be a Peloton bike instructor. There's no question. He'd have a class where he's like, all right, dude, we're gonna lift Uzis and keep pedaling, and, you know, imagining, all right, guys, we're not hitting a hill right now, we got to dig deep and run harder from robots, and they're using magnetic fields to hold you back. I would love a Peloton class that involved, you know, a sort of robot war metaphor to it that you had to win.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be the instructor to teach it. Yeah, that's sick. All right, dude. And I believe that one is a Boris Vallejo. Now we're going to get to a Julie Bell one here. And this piece is entitled Jackrabbit. This is an oil on canvas. And I'm going to go ahead and take the liberty of retitling this to Jacked Rabbit. Because this bunny is absolutely, it's absolutely fucking ripped. I'm looking at a southwestern landscape, maybe Arizona, New Mexico, the land of enchantment. And it is a absolutely shredded bunny, dude. It's a close-up of a bunny. It's about shoulder up, side profile. He's looking off to the distance. And honestly, I like to imagine, I've seen that look in my own eye before, which is, I think, really what Julie Bell intended for us to to tune in on here, although I cannot help but notice this rabbit's traps. I would say, like, if this rabbit were a wrestler, it'd be Goldberg. He has Goldberg-style traps, absolutely shredded, and he's got long whiskers, which lets me know he's wise. So he's a jacked old dude, so I respect him immediately. And he's got a look in his eye that's like, dude, I just did high clean and pulls, and I really don't want to move on to this next set where I'm going, where, yeah, sure, I'm dropping weight, but I'm doing full power cleans from the floor. I really don't want to do it, but I just got to get five and bump them out. And I'm thinking that's what is the thought that's going through his head right now. You know? That, or like he's looking out and he's like, I have a family now and I haven't been able to get in the gym for a long time and I'm running and there's tons of coyotes after me and my family. And I dug this hole here and this is where I will stand my ground against these coyotes coming after me, dude. And it's just sick. I love the coloration. It has sort of a melancholy feel to me. You know, it looks like it's about sundown. I am thinking it is sundown, not sunrise. And maybe due to the aged look of this jacked rabbit, this jacked jackrabbit. What do you think of when you see this, Aaron?
I mean, I'm thinking I'd kill for that jawline.
Yes.
I love the detail of the whiskers and how long they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does make you think he's maybe a little bit older, he or she.
Correct. That is true.
Yeah.
I think he has... yeah, just calling him he, but he very well could be a he or a she. Knowing Julie Bell, I think maybe I should be going, this is probably a she and completely shredded.
Yeah, maybe it just heard something like,
ooh, yeah,
ooh, like an owl or something. It's like, huh?
Yep. Or dude, even more stoke-inducing, maybe he heard one of his boys.
Yeah.
Go, hey, cruising over, we're having some beers right now. I don't know what beer would be in rabbit world. It'd be like, I don't know, a gerbil? Like, yo, oh no, rabbits don't even eat meat. Like, yo, dude, I found these like juniper berries. Let's go. We're going to go crush juniper right now, which is made to make gin. So basically they're like, dude, we're having freaking gin and tonics. And he's like, what, dude, you say gin and tonics? Give me five. And yeah, I mean, that jawline is definitely a decision maker jawline. Freaking lantern jaw, dude. So sick. So just tight, dude. Husband and wife. Teaming up, doing fantasy drawings. That you need to put these things up. They need to be shared. There's fantasy drawings don't belong. Put it on a coffee table at the very least, dude. If you've got a manager who's unchill, dude, but you have a desk area with a little sitting area, put it out. I've got a Boris Vallejo out on my desk area, the book. It's a book of some of his best works, but I would love to get a Julie Bell and a Boris Vallejo piece. Husband and wife made it together, and me and my GF have a freaking dank place together. It's about togetherness. It's dank. Why not? But it would not be if I chose the painting to do that with. And we've got two more here that we're going to go through. It wouldn't be this one, but it would be the next one. It wouldn't be the next one, but I want to show it because, you know, I don't want to be biased here. This is called Conjured. And I mean, this is classic Vallejo. You know, it's very clearly scenario of, to me, I mean, you have in the foreground, you have someone who looks like Conan the Barbarian. His dank GF below him, sort of kneeling down, looking up at the sky. And in the sky, in the background here, we have like sort of an evil vampire priestess and a goblin that somewhat resembles the goblin of the Wizard of Oz. Like it looks like sort of like an evil jacked Yoda. And they're standing in front of sort of a moon planet, and they're looks like they're being cast up from something, like some sort of smog or myth is going on. That goblin's coming from that. And maybe this sorceress here is sort of casting him up a spell right here. And then, you know, basically it's the jacked couple looks like they're being threatened by this sorceress and the jacked goblin. And I clearly, very clearly think this is a metaphor for being invited out on a double date with your GF's friend and her new boyfriend, who's a schmoll. And like, obviously the sorceress, you know, who would definitely be difficult to get along with, maybe dates guys that she knows won't go anywhere because she's maybe quite controlling. And then this guy who's a total schmoll who just wants to tell you about how much dough he's pulled down in the last quarter, or, you know, sort of neg you or talk about, oh man, when I'm with my friends, we only play these other courses that are more expensive than the courses you play. And you've got to sort of deal with that on dinner, but you know, it's your GF's old friend and they're going to have a good time. So you know, your GF is in a kneeling position, of course, looking jacked, a little more classical feminine physique here as opposed to CrossFit. Maybe she's a distance runner. And she's sort of looking at you being like, hey, is it cool if we cruise? And I like to imagine the Conan guy here, who is obviously I'm personifying as myself here, because he is shredded. He has absolutely jacked quads. He's wearing sick pirate style boots. He has a sick, like Ultimate Warrior style thing tied around his biceps and delts to pronounce that. He is in a shredded 8-pack, long hair, suggesting that he does not work for a corporate company. He can do what he wants, is probably self-employed. And he is, and I like to imagine not unsheathing his sword, which I think most of us would imagine at first, but rather putting the sword back in and saying to his GF, fine, let's just get sushi. We'll make it quick. You know, let's just cruise to this spot. We know there, we'll get a table quickly. We'll be in and out of dinner in 45 minutes. That's sort of what I'm seeing here in Conjured, the Boris Vallejo piece. And you know, a lot of his work comes from like the 70s and stuff, although some of these we saw were marked like 97 and stuff. So, you know, we're looking at stuff from a good amount from his portfolio, a good time frame there. So I think that's definitely what this is saying here. Aaron, what do you think? Am I missing anything, or is anything being evoked in you?
Immediately, I'm kind of picturing like a love triangle.
Right.
Like the sorceress up there is actually the girlfriend.
Whoa.
And she walked in on Conan and the blonde down on her knees. And she's like, oh, fuck this. Demons for all of you. And
So she's conjured it. And maybe she was doing some sort of conjuring movement down there on her knees, praying, you know, maybe going up, you know, going up and down and really casting this demon from, this goblin demon from down under.
No, I'm thinking it's coming from the blonde, the brunette above is like,
oh, she, oh yeah, because that's the GF, you're right. Yeah, oh yeah, she, totally.
She's like, oh, you're steal my man, will you? Oh, here's a goblin to crush you.
Totally.
Both of you.
It looks like the goblin perhaps has laser capabilities from his eyes, which is tight. And he's got dank, you know, incisors or canine teeth protruding from his mouth. And even in the clouds, you can probably tell he's got good shoulder girth.
Yeah,
you
know? He's jacked for sure.
Piccolo style Dragon Ball Z shoulder girth there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, don't piss off a witch. I mean, that's just,
it's fun.
Classic. It's like first rule.
You don't upset a witch.
Yeah.
You do not want a scorned witch to be coming after you, dude, because she will cast up jacked goblins to get you. And you know what's sick, Aaron, right now, which is something I just sort of had an epiphany about, is say you work at a company or at your apartment, and this is sort of us traveling back in time. What do you do around the water cooler? You talk about Sopranos when that was out. You talked Game of Thrones, which is fantasy, and everyone loves it. Mm-hmm. So basically, by having fantasy up, you are traveling back in time because it's something that you would have had. That would be the only thing to talk about. Oh, the latest artwork, or have you been over to frickin' Rick's house? Dude, he's got some dank drawings. You know, go ahead and, you know, blink your eyes a few times and take a memory snap of your eye and put it in your spank bank, because you're going to have to go home and enjoy yourself in your outhouse because we're stepping back, you know, years now. Maybe it's a woodblock print in Edo, Japan or something like that. And that's what you had to enjoy. People would sit around. It would be like sort of, you know, it's viewed as like pretentious and stuff, but it's also dank. You know, you get people around someone who has a different opinion or a different life experience, and they take that to the painting and it opens it up for you. You interpreted that different than I did. You could open business deals that way, learn about your business deal. Start first dates. That's why you go to a comedy show or take in some sort of art within the first three dates together, so you know how someone's thinking creatively or how things hit them versus how it hits you. You learn about yourself and each other at the same time. It's very dank, dude. It's one of the most beautiful purposes of art, dude. And that's why in my desk area, I don't want to dominate the space of our apartment, but I'd like, you know, to get the green light from my dank GF, who I think she will. And I think there's no way that she's not going to green light Galactic Love if I got a nice frame from West Elm for this, or CB2. I mean, this has everything I want in my fantasy drawing, okay? It has a castle on top of a mountain in the background. There are jacked goblins, and then I'm looking at a castle on top of it, some sort of monarch there. You have an Independence Day style alien mothership coming down on this world. So what's going on there? There's a shared enemy in there. And then you have a dank, absolutely shredded BF here holding a laser gun, dude. He's wearing sick pants and boots, which I don't have the confidence to wear, but a dank belt buckle, dude. You know, he looks like a dude who, like, in the 70s, you know, he looks like the dude who shapes surfboards, you know, a surfboard shaper who's in space with a dank, some sort of nymph, or I like to imagine of this world, some sort of nymph or maybe perhaps princess fairy of some sort as his dank GF who has wings, dude. She can fly. That's so dank, dude. I mean, this guy's got big enough lats that they could be confused for wings. You have rock goblins and you have jacked goblins riding other sort of dragon type riders who are threatening this couple. Basically, and then you have a robot warrior who's like, maybe that represents your squad, dude. Looks like that robot's probably on your side, you know, because he's got his back to you and looking out at this invading, you know, sort of reptilian force. And basically what it's telling me is in the entire world around us, you know, there's going to be uncontrolled variables, you know, alien motherships. There's going to be, you know, jacked reptile goblins. There's going to be, you know, mythical castles. So it's like, what is it? Am I chasing a promotion? Is, you know, a mother-in-law, the mothership, really kind of wanting to stay with us for a few weekends right now and really cramp our style? Are these reptilian dragons here? Are these multiple, you know, reptile really resonates and sounds like the word rescue to me. How many rescue animals is my GF going to want me to get over the years? We've already got one. Is it going to be 12, 10? Am I going to have a menagerie of rescue animals here? I don't know. But what I do know is that I got a freaking laser gun and you, my dank GF, who if you look at the couple and all the chaos around them in this galactic love, they are solid. They are rock solid together. A light is shining down on them. There's a little bit of vegetation and growth beneath them, which I think symbolizes fertility and a future for this couple in this uncertain world going on around them. And it's absolutely dank. And honestly, this is a piece for me that, unlike any other one, and I'm including Jacked Rabbit, when first looking at them, I want to immediately say, hey guys, I'll be back in 30 seconds and step into the drill factory. I'm quick in there. This piece for me just makes me want to go, you know what? I just want to give my GF some smooches right now. And then, you know, I'm going to step in the drill factory later, of course. But, I mean, that's what I'm getting here. It's very dank. Also, looks like there's waves in the background. I see some sort of maybe water or it could be a glacier. But, you know, that's where I got maybe this guy's a surfboard shaper. Maybe he's a snowboard maker. I don't know. It's sick. Aaron, what do you think, dude? Do you think I got a good chance of getting my GF to green light this galactic love?
I mean, what's not to like? You know, it's you got this dude here who's jacked. He's kind of like a cross between Han Solo or John McClane and
yes.
and Jim Morrison.
Yes.
With the pants and the belt.
Great call.
You know? And there is love, clearly. There's like a little interspecies thing yeah. going on, like a little fantasy.
Yeah, we don't judge that. We love that.
Yeah, a little pixie nymph thing.
Maybe this war is happening because maybe it's, you know, a Romeo and Juliet style thing, you know, mm-hmm. this exactly. war is happening because it's maybe a forbidden love on this planet. But guess what? On that moon world in the background, it could be perfectly acceptable. The type of love that they like on this moon world, they're not beholden to Earth or whatever their home world's laws are.
Yeah. And you got robot warrior bro back there.
Yeah. I love that. That's their freaking bro. I imagine maybe that's a suit that a dude, like it's an exoskeleton suit for a dude and his boy's in there. And he's like, dude, I got you, dude. Maybe that's his ship coming down and he's going to get warped up into there and then bail.
Yeah, it could entirely be, yeah.
It's so chill.
Like maybe she's a princess from this castle land
mm-hmm.
and they fell in love and now they got to get the fuck out of there.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And they got, that's their ship.
100%.
And the smaller ships are from the castle land.
Yeah, the smaller ships in the distance, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a force sent out by her overbearing father
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, my daughter, I gave you life, but you know what? That doesn't give him the right to live it.
Yeah.
It's her choice. I love it, dude. Galactic love, dude. A piece about choice in the dank one. So, I mean, yeah, dude, I'm fired up on those works. Go ahead and get yourself one. I mean, I can't stress it enough. I mean, sort of what we did, I mean, as far as from a history standpoint, you know, you didn't get the most rigorous lesson and the most unbelievable factoids to take home with you and drop you know, in casual conversation with your coworkers and be like, dude, this is what's up. You know, oh, dude, did you know that in this year, friggin', you know, Frost and Nixon had his first debate, dude, you know what I mean? You know, is that 60? You know that? There's four of them, dude. Someone probably would go, yeah, I do. That's not that crazy of a fact to know, but it's like, well, guess what, dude? Now you don't need to drop facts. You just got to go, hey, guys, you know, I was looking at some Boris Vallejo works. Are you familiar? And they'll go, no. And you go, oh, well, he teams up with his wife, Julie Bell, and they really make some great, fantastic fantasy work. And it's good stuff. I'm thinking you should check it out. And here's a little something about it. And, you know, you revisit the pod. You go through what I went through. You talk about some themes, you know, and then you can drill yourself to thoughts later of just knowing how much you nailed that conversation and how much, you know, intellectual and artistic knowledge you have, and really just get off on that for yourself. And that's tight.
You know, this all reminds me of too, is have you seen Heavy Metal?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
It absolutely has a Heavy Metal vibe to it. No question. A little bit of Don Felder. For those of you who aren't familiar with Heavy Metal, the movie, it's like from the '80s, and it's, Kenny, when he gets high in South Park, that's the world that, or like when, yeah, something happens to him in South Park, that's like where he always goes in his fantasy. And it cues that Don Felder theme. It's like, bow, down, down, ch, 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 down, 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 ch, ch. And it's like just jacked warriors of like in a galactic world. It's like kind of Mad Maxy a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
Has like that vibe going. Very dank. Dude, that song's so fire. We might have to listen to it, dude. Do you think we can listen to it? I got to plug my computer back in. It's going to be risky. Let's not do
it. Yeah, I feel like it'll get us taken down.
Yep. Give yourself the gift of listening to that. That's dank. Let's take a few cues, then we'll head out, dude. Strider, I pose as my brother on a dating website because I have absolute fire DM and text game. He has met this lady and they've hit it off. They're for sure going to be BF and GF. I have a GF and I'm happily chilling. But does my brother have to tell his dank lady he met that I was that it was first me who was hitting her with absolute fire wit when we first started talking through the dating app? Yeah, does the brother need to come clean and let him know, hey? I mean, I think he could do it in a funny way. It depends how long it's been. Like, oh, I mean, and dude, I don't know. I don't think he has to. Unless like it was like he always had his phone and it was gnarly. Like, the brother didn't even know what he was saying or checking in, like the brother who's going to date this girl. But it's like, doesn't everyone ask for advice for texting? But maybe he was just the one doing it.
How involved was he? Like, you can't say it was just you because that's almost cheating.
Yeah, it's like weird. And maybe that's what he means here. Like, maybe it was just him doing it. And in that case, it's like, she might be really put off by that. I don't think I would like that.
Yeah. I think if you're going to tell him, you either got to do it right now or not for years.
That's the advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like third or fifth wedding anniversary or something like that. If the relationship's going nice and they got a kid on the way, or they just got a dog, then you go ahead and go, hey, by the way, that was me. How many? I don't really remember. All of them. What? It's like, I don't know, man. It doesn't sound that terrible, but I could just be underestimating it. I think you nailed it, though. Like, if it's 100%, I don't think there's any way it could be a totally 100%. The brother's got to be like, dude, is it okay if I say this? He's going to be like, yeah. Oh, what'd she say? It's not like these brothers aren't going to be, it sounds like they're boys, like communicating to some degree. So I wouldn't undersell your brother who's going to be dating this girl. And I'm stoked for him that he met someone dank. I have the worst text game. I never did apps or anything, dude. Early on, my GF would text me, I'd call her, and I'd just be like, she's like, what? You're supposed to text back. It's kind of fun. I was like, no, we're getting coffees. That's my style. Some people are, that's off-putting though. And nowadays, I think a lot of the, you know, the young guns dating out there, it's like part of like, I don't even know what the formula is. It's like follow and unfollow each other 8 times on Instagram, like one photo, like comment on one. Like there's probably some Goldilocks algorithm of a ratio for it that another app has figured out. An app that you can make money off of is like, it should just be called dudes who have internet game. Like this guy should do it, of like knowing what to like and what photos to like and what ratio it is to get that conversation flowing. Because Lord knows, I don't know, man. I never did any apps. Aaron, you never did any apps. Or no, you guys met on an app.
Yep.
And then you met going, yeah, I love that. But yeah.
I feel like I have, well, with my wife in particular, I don't think I had good text game, but I was just like, it was just quick. It was just like, all right, you want to meet? Let's meet. Let's do that. Like, it was a couple of days maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I completely misinterpreted her first messages and was just like, is she interested? I don't even know.
Dude, it's hilarious. Dude, it's so tough to have nuance. But you know what I think? Don't underestimate that, like, someone's taking the time to talk to you too.
Really.
Like, you know, you get the hey or something like that. They reach out. You're like, oh, you're stoked. Someone, hey, just means that might just be, then you just go from there and be you. But it's tough, dude. Nuance via texting, not easy. Even me and Jeff and I sometimes I'll like joke around and be like, you know, if I forgot something at the market, I'll be like, oh, whoops. Like joking around if it's not that big of a deal. And she's like, that was a big deal. And I was like, oh, I actually already went back and got it. My bad. I was just like saying, oh, okay. You know, not everyone's crawling around in your dome. Or my dome, at least. Okay. Yo, friggin' what up, Strider? I love the dank pods. As of recent, dude, thank you. I have a couple questions about the inevitable challenge that arises every year on the 1st of November. The painful endurance test of NoFap November has arrived. Are you taking part? Even if not, do you have any fire advice for NoFap soldiers? The health benefits seem to massively overpower the negative. Obviously, less time, less energy, and less sex drive isn't very stoke invoking. Do provide us NoFap soldiers with some wisdom. Love the lit pods, brother. Stay stoked. Thank you, dude. Elliot, the obtuse angle, dude. Love it. Elliot, dude, I mean, at this point in the pod, after doing the Boris Vallejo, I don't know if anyone's keeping a tally, but I think I've mentioned the drill factory about 80 times. So you know daddy's not taking place in NoFap November. Honestly, I think Halloween night I was enjoying myself at 12:01, baby. I think, you know, I took off that mask, got right in my birthday suit and said, let's break this puppy in, right? But yeah, dude, I mean, dude, look, more power to the NoFap, dude. Look, take it as a personal challenge. I think it's good to be able to stay disciplined and keep your will strong and in whatever you're doing, whether it's giving up, you know, straight up drilling yourself or, you know, giving up booze or weed or anything that you think might be having some sort of negative impact or keeping you from being the most productive, best version of you. More power on you for doing that. That fires me up and keeps me stoked. So I would say in order to keep going with the NoFap, which I support you in your adventure spiritually, although definitely not physically, because I've been looking at a lot of Boris Vallejo work today, I would say, dude, keep it going. Get a good network of people, friends around you who can support you when you're feeling like you're going to be slipping that you can turn to, and keep yourself busy, dude. You know, the thing that would lead me to try to not do it would just be me, you know, being the most productive and feeling the best about myself. So make sure, you know, augment that by, you know, maybe doing some more exercise, eating healthy too. Try some other stuff to help you and build your routine around this. Don't just, you know, maybe say, oh, if I just do the one thing, you know, help yourself take steps to, you know, bolster that up, I think might help. What do you think, Aaron?
I mean, I don't really understand the need to do it. Like, is it for charity? Yeah, would I even want to say that for charity?
That was my company, yes.
I don't know. I don't understand the health benefits, really, because it's like you kind of have to get that stuff out. You know, it's actually...
Yeah. I guess if you're boning regularly, that's tight too.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't count against you.
Yeah.
So... Hey,
because it's just drilling yourself, right? Or nutting too?
No, I would think it's just drilling.
That's what
yourself.
I think too. So yeah, I mean, if you've got a dank GF, dude, and whatever, then that's chill, and or you know, signif of, you know, and you guys are, you know, enjoying the act of physical lovemaking. Go ahead and keep that up, and then you know it's going to make it a lot easier not to drill. I don't really know what the health benefits are.
I know. I would think if you're a regular. Regular occupant of the drill factory, like say daily, and then you just go stop for a month. I think that's a big jar to your system.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've ramped down some the last week of October at least.
Yeah. Lead up to it. Going cold turkey is going to be tough. And I think dudes that are doing it are maybe.
Heard of alcohol poisoning? Just think about what you're doing to yourself with this.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's true. There's going to be more immediate effects and you can sort of mitigate those things. I think that's a good call, Aaron. All right, let's just do one more thing here, dude.
Always consult a physician.
Yeah, definitely consult your physician for sure. What up, Strider? Longtime listener, first time emailer, dude. Loved last episode about Prefontaine and running, but wanted to point out a small correction. Okay, we got a correction. Here we go, dude. Love the credit you gave Bill Bowerman as a legend himself, but you have overstated his contribution as a founder of Nike. Much of what I'm about to say I discovered from reading Phil Knight's book, Shoe Dog. which I know our dog JT read. Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. Yes, he did. And he's a former Nike, and this guy, what's his name? Tommy is a former Nike employee. And let's see. He's a former Nike employee, and the stores Bowerman, Knight, and Pree are the holy trinity of the company. Bowerman did have a lot to do with their earliest technological innovations and widespread popularity of jogging, but Phil Knight was a true founder and businessman who made Nike what it is. All right, yeah, he founded the company as Blue Ribbon Sports and brought the idea to Bowerman, who was Knight's former track coach, so he taught Pree and Knight. Oh, that's interesting. And then at a dinner, Bowerman and Knight famously shook hands to solidify a partnership in the company, dude. Fired it. Great correction, Tommy. You're a beast, dude. He went on to write some more, but I think we're getting close on time. Want to make sure anyone listening on the commute's not late, dude. Although sometimes if you do walk in late, Powerman would just look around and go, what in your office? Just say that out loud. And then if people kind of give you a stink eye, act like you're on your phone afterwards and then go, what? Sorry, I can't. Bad reception. You know, but hopefully you don't have to back down from it like that. Other than that, dude, just freaking stay stoked. Be chillers, dude. Another dank app, dude. Looking forward to the one next week. Thank you, Aaron. You're a beast, dude. And all right, dudes, lit.